You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up. Dolphins fans, how are you today? And thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast on this Saturday morning, April the 20th. I am your host, Mike Oliva, flying solo today as it's NFL draft week. We are less than a week away. It is almost here. And on this show, I'm going to break down some of the offensive players on the offensive side of the ball who might be in play for Miami at pick 21 and 55. On the last show, I spoke more about the vision Chris Greer might be taking. Is he going to play a long-term game here and just get the best player available and not worry about what position they play? Or is he playing a short game where he's trying to win in 2024 and plug holes where the players, where the position that each guy plays is of the utmost importance, as he has to fill a hole to make this team whole in 2024. Well, on today's show, I'm talking more about, let's get down to the nitty-gritty and talk about players. And I'm going to cover the offense today, and tomorrow I'll talk about the defensive players. But before we get to any of that, as always, a big shout out to everyone listening at finheaven.com. Everyone go to finheaven.com, the largest Miami Dolphins message board on the internet. Also, a shout out to our friends at the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook page, run by the great and talented Carlos Hernandez. If you're on Facebook, please be sure you are a part of the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook page. And wherever you're listening to this podcast, whether it's Apple Podcast, Spotify, YouTube, Podbean, Podchaser, Audible, we're on all the platforms, every single one. Hit that subscribe button. You don't want to miss a show. We will have shows for you each and every day of the week between now and the NFL draft. And on draft night, Tom and myself will be on late at night after the picks are made, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And during the draft, if you're part of our YouTube channel, so go to YouTube and subscribe to the DolphinsTalk.com YouTube channel. We are going to have live coverage all night Thursday, all night Friday, wall-to-wall coverage of what Miami will be doing with multiple guests and multiple people on giving their opinions. Okay, let's talk about the offense. Pick 21, pick 55 as of today. They haven't made any trades yet. If they do make trades on draft night, I will sort of factor that in as I go through some of these players here. And I think if they go offense, the most logical position in round one at pick 21 is obviously the offensive line. Just makes all the sense of the world. And this is a very deep offensive line class. The one thing about the Miami Dolphins, they have three distinct needs. Or I'd probably say four, actually, which are offensive line, wide receiver, and I'd say front seven on defense if you want to combine edge rusher and tackle. So I guess three, we'll just call it. This draft is deep at all three of those positions. So the Miami Dolphins in rounds one and two, if they just attack those areas of need, they're going to come away with two very good players who are probably going to come out of here as guys who will contribute a lot in 2024. But let's focus on the O-line. I think, let's assume this. Joe Alt out of Notre Dame won't be there at 21. He's going to go probably top 10, or if for some reason he falls out top 10, he ain't going to go further than 11 or 12 or something like that. So Joe Alt won't be there. The rest of the offensive tackles are in play, I would say. There is a recent NFL.com mock draft by Chad Reuter, who's very good at this stuff. He's been doing this stuff for many years. He's one of the names that, you know, when he does something, you know, of course, it's a mock draft. You take it with a grain of salt, but you stand up and listen because he's very good at this. Has the Penn State offensive lineman, I'm going to try to say this name correctly. It's a tough one. Olunami Fashano out of Penn State falling to 21. Now, every mock draft I've seen from Kuiper, from Jeremiah, from Peter Schrager has this guy going, you know, 10, 11, 12, or 13. You know, he ain't falling this far, and he's got him going to pick 21. The other name I would say that would be a great name if he fell is the offensive tackle from Oregon State, Fuaga, Talesi Fuaga from Oregon State. Those two, you know, up until probably this week, most people had going, you know, in the teens. and I would say high teens. So, you know, when you get to like 10, pretty much anything past 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, that range, those two names have been coming off the board. Could one of them fall to 21? Well, if Chad Reuter is saying it's possible for the Penn State kid to fall 21, I have to at least acknowledge that might happen. Obviously, if you know, we're going to have for sure four quarterbacks go in the top 10. If you get to the, you know, Raiders, the Vikings or Broncos, if one of them don't trade up, you know, take Knicks in that range. You got five quarterbacks off the board. Well, the more quarterbacks that go higher is going to push down other good players. If there's a run on cornerbacks in the high teens, because there's about three corners who are, I'd say, three to four that are round one worthy. If they start flying off the board, probably in like the mid-teens, when you got teams like Jacksonville and stuff who need help there, if they start taking them, that's going to push, you know, other good players like offensive linemen down the board to Miami. So I think, is it likely the Penn State kid or the kid from Oregon State fall to 21? I'd say it's unlikely, but not impossible. And if either one of them do fall to 21, I don't care who else is on the board, you take them. Those two guys are top-end left tackle replacements for Armstead. Obviously not this year, but next year and beyond. It just makes it a no-brainer of a decision. You take them. If they can play left guard this year, great. If they can't, I'm not going to lose sleep over it, because I know I got a potential left tackle of the future who's going to step in. And, you know, he might even leapfrog someone like Lamb if one Armstead is hurt this year and he has to miss his usual 5, 6, 7 games. He might be your left tackle replacement over someone like Kendall Lamb, because those two are that good. Now, if they're not off, if they're off the board by pick 21, which probably likely, the next group I would say is sort of headlined by Troy. And once again, I apologize for these names. Some of these names are absolutely nuts. I will learn them if they get picked by Miami. If they don't get picked by Miami, I'm not going to spend the time. Troy Fuatu from Washington. He can play guard or tackle. Another name, if he's there at 21, I think the Dolphins have to take him. Even with all the needs on defense, with Murphy, Latu, Verse, like, if this guy's on the board, I think Miami seriously has to consider just running up the card, because he's a guy who is going to help you this year at guard, probably left guard, and move Isaiah Wynn to right guard. And then next year can probably be the Armstead replacement at left tackle from Washington. His name has been skyrocketing up the boards. He's part of the reason that those other two names, the one from Penn State and the one from Oregon State, have sort of slipped, because he has sort of passed them on some people's boards. If he gets past Seattle at 16, I think there's a good chance he could be on the board for Miami. I think Seattle, though, at 16, if he's on the board, I don't know if he gets past them. But there's a chance, obviously. A big name. The other name is J.C. Latham from Alabama. J.C. Latham from Alabama is awesome. The problem is he's not necessarily a left tackle. He's more of a right tackle, and we know Miami has a right tackle who they just gave a big contract extension to. Now, that does not take him out of play, though. If J.C. Latham's on the board and Chris Greer takes him, what he's saying is J.C. Latham this year is going to play right guard and sort of be the replacement for Robert Hunt, which would be great. He would probably excel at that role. And then next year, we're going to have a conversation once Armstead's gone. If J.C. Latham can sort of learn to play left tackle, or do they possibly move Austin Jackson to left tackle and slide Latham over to right tackle? That's why there's a lot of questions there if you take someone like Latham, where his future is beyond this year. Where this year, we know they'll just play him at right guard and everything will be fine. But then you got Austin Jackson and Latham. Which one of those two can move to left tackle next year? That would be, if they don't feel Latham can learn to play left tackle, or they don't want to move Austin Jackson, then it make this pick tough to make at 21. Not impossible, but it all depends on how Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel feel about that. So that one, a little bit of a question mark over his head. I get it if they picked him. Totally get it. But it's not clean cut as to what the long-term vision would be there with him. Now, those are the names I think are in play for Miami at 21. If they took any one of those names at 21, I think you, as a fan of the Dolphins, even if you rather have them take an edge rusher, rather have them take a defensive tackle, I think you still feel pretty good with your pick at 21, because all those guys are big-time offensive line prospects. If the Dolphins in round one trade back for some reason, and they feel, you know what, we like a lot of these offensive linemen, and we feel like we can get one that we still like, and plus maybe add a pick in round two, maybe add a pick in round three, maybe add a pick in round four, maybe add a couple picks. Maybe you trade back from 21 to 29, and you get picks in rounds three and four, which you currently do not have. Maybe you slide back from 21 to 30, you get a pick in round two, and maybe a pick in round four. Like, I understand the logic. I'm not in favor of this because I think at 21 you're going to get a really good player fall in your lap at some position. But say they do that and they still want an offensive tackle in round one, then some of the names you're looking at, I think later round one, are Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma, Amarius Mims from Georgia, Jordan Morgan from Arizona, and Roger Rosengarten from Washington. Those are the names, because those guys are a little bit more of a project than the names I've mentioned, the kid from Washington, the kid from Penn State, the kid from Alabama, and the kid from Oregon State. Those guys are polished, plug and play year one if they have to, or probably good enough to slide over and play offensive guard in year one, and then year two, move them out to tackle. You're going to be fine. When you're getting to the Guyton's and the Morgans and the Rosengartens and the Mims, there's more question marks about some of those guys and like experience when it comes to a Mims and a Tyler Guyton type, and just sort of like the flexibility people like Morgan and Rosengarten have. So again, if they trade back in round one, which I am not in favor of, I think those are the names that are in play for late round one if Miami trades back and wants an offensive lineman. Or more, I should say an offensive tackle more specifically. Now, if the two names I didn't mention are interior offensive linemen at pick 21, which are obviously the names you've heard ad nauseum, Graham Barton and Jackson Powers Johnson. Graham Barton from Duke and Jackson Powers Johnson. I'm going to start with Jackson Powers Johnson. I think there's 0.0% chance Miami drafts him. Again, if I'm wrong, you can clip this and throw it in my face on Thursday night at pick 21. Now, if they take him around two, that's different. I'm saying at pick 21, there's 0.0% chance Miami drafts him. I don't think he's really a scheme fit. That's just me. I know some other people have vastly different opinions. I respect him. I just don't see him for what Miami wants to do on their offensive line. And plus it would make the signing of Aaron Brewer a little confusing, because I don't think you want to move Aaron Brewer to guard. I don't think that works. And I don't know. I just don't see that happening. Now, Barton is a total wild card to me in round five. And I'd give a lot of money to sort of, like right now today, find out how Chris Greer feels about Graham Barton. He can play all five positions, and that's obviously great. He gives you great position flexibility at either left tackle, right tackle, left guard, right guard, center, all that good stuff. My main concern is, if you can play all five positions, do you truly excel at any one of those positions? And at pick 21, I'd rather have a guy who excels at one position than a guy who can just play all five. Now, maybe he plays all five at a high level. I doubt it, but I think it's more just he can play them all. Well, that's great. He can play them all. Which one is he great at, though? Because I pick 21, I want someone who's great at one position. That's kind of what concerns me. Obviously, if he is picked by Miami year one, he's going to play either left guard or right guard. We know that. And then next year, he's probably in the mix to be a left tackle and replace Armstead. But in the mix, at pick 21, I want to know for sure if this guy's going to replace Armstead or not. And I don't want a guy in the mix, because I don't want to be here 1 year from now with a pick in round one going, well, we got to find a left tackle in the future. What the hell we just took Barton for? So it's like, that's where I am with that. I wouldn't be mad with the pick. That's just, I don't know. I wouldn't be excited about it either. But I don't see Jackson Powers Johnson in round one. Maybe I'm totally reading this whole thing wrong. Wouldn't be the first time. But with Graham Barton, that would be an underwhelming pick 21. Now, say Miami goes anywhere else in round one. They go edge rusher, wide receiver for crying out loud, or even defensive tackle. Round two, they want to add an offensive lineman. I think there's more value. I shouldn't say more value, because I think some of those high-end offensive tackles, if they're there at 21, is a home run pick. But you know, if those top like five names aren't there, I'm okay waiting to 55 to get someone. Because at 55, it gives you more flexibility. If you want to go with an offensive guard to replace Robert Hunt, I think guys like Christian Haynes out of UConn, Brandon Coleman out of TCU, and Cooper Beebe out of Kansas State are great value at 55, where you can add like an edge rusher in round one, and then round two, you get a plug-and-play right guard to step in for Hunt. I think that's a ton of value there. And yes, you're going to kick the can down the road with offensive tackle the next year. But again, next year you got picks rounds 1, 2, and 3, picks in rounds 3. So you have more picks next year to sort of find that tackle. So that's why I am like probably more in favor of doing it this way, where you go somewhere else in round 1 and then offensive guard or so in round 2. If you want to go offensive tackle in round 2, the two names that sort of stand out who would be, you know, fair picks at 55 are Kingsley Suamatia out of BYU and Patrick Paul out of Houston. I know some people are really down on Patrick Paul, like really down, like think he should go like rounds 3 or 4. But, you know, most people think he will go in round 2. A little bit more of a project. That's why he's in round 2. But if those would be the names there in round 2, Zach Frazier is another name, but he's a pure center. Again, if they sign Zach Frazier, then why did they pay Aaron Brewer? It's because, again, I don't think Aaron is sliding over to guard. I could be totally wrong. And if you're going to dread, and then if you take Zach Frazier, who's a pure center, can he play guard? Yeah, probably, but he's a pure center. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like a lot of logic behind there. It's possible. Again, it's possible. I have no idea what they're thinking or how they look at some of these players. But I think if it were me, if you're going offensive lineman, if it's not one of the top five, I would go more so round 2 with a Christian Haynes, Brandon Coleman, and Cooper Beebe, who are like plug-and-play guys at guard, most likely who can start for you year 1, day 1. Those are the guys that are in play there. There's a ton of offensive linemen. I'm leaving a lot of guys out. But again, I'm just sort of focusing on 21 and 55. If they trade back from, say, pick 55 to like the mid-60s or something, that opens up another group of offensive linemen I'm not going to go over today because I don't want to live in a fantasy world. I have to live in reality. And right now they got picks 21 and 55. Those are would be the names. Round 1, I just gave you about 9 or 10 for like pick 21. If they trade back to late round 1, some names. And then at pick 55, I think these are probably the 5 names that would be most likely in play. Or if one of those guys in round 1 fall to round 2, like a Roger Rosengarten or like a Jordan Morgan, if they fell to like pick 55, I mean, that'd be a real steal then. So I think those are the guys in play there. Let's talk tight end. And this is going to be quick because there's only 2 players who should go rounds 1 and 2 at tight end. Number 1, we all know the top one, round 1, Brock Bowers. Most people have him going at 10-ish to the Jets. Some people have him falling as low to Cincinnati when they're on the clock at like 18, I believe it is. So that range, here's what I'll say. There's probably 0% chance he falls to 21. But if he's on the board come like pick 16 or 17, somewhere in that range, if like pick 16 comes and he's still on the board, Chris Greer has enough ammunition. I know some fans don't want to believe this, but it's true. Chris Greer has enough ammunition to trade up from 21 to either 16, 17, 18, 19, or 20 and grab him should he want to. I don't know if he wants to, but should he want to, he has enough. Knowing you cannot trade the compensatory picks in 2025 because they're not official yet, but he can trade his own first, second, or third next year. Not his first. I don't think that's happening. But knowing you're going to have 3 picks around 3 next year, you could trade, you know, your 3rd pick next year and maybe swap picks this year in round 2. Well, all depending on the team. You can make it work, is essentially what I'm saying. It's like not a crazy amount you have to trade away to go from like 21 to 17 or 21 to 16 or 21 to 18. Like, he could do it if he wanted to. And here's the deal. Brock Bowers is an elite tight end. Like, he is maybe the best tight end prospect to come in the NFL the past 4 or 5 years. He is that good. It would give Miami an amazing 1-2 punch at tight end with Brock Bowers and Jonnu Smith. It would alleviate a lot of the concerns of who the number 3 wide receiver is, because now you're going to go out there with Hill, Waddle, Brock Bowers, Smith. I mean, you're going to have some pass catchers on the field. Like, Jonnu Smith is the number 1 tight end is like fine, but you throw a Brock Bowers in there, good Lord, that would really change this whole Miami offense. You know, Mike McDaniel would have to come up with, not even an option, have to come up with creative ways to get him the ball and sort of factor him in this offense. So I'd say I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think he wants to trade up. But he does. If he wanted to, he could. And if he starts to fall, if Brock Bowers gets past 10 in the Jets, then you have to start looking how far is he going to fall. He probably won't fall to 21, but a few picks before, if he's on the board, Miami could make a move to get him, and it wouldn't be crazy because he is that good. Again, that would be a long-term play where I have huge needs on the offensive line, huge needs at edge rusher, huge needs at defensive tackle, but this guy's too damn good to pass up, and he's falling in my lap pretty much. I have to take him. That's a Brock Bowers. Elite tight end would just be amazing. So I'm not going to say it will happen because I don't think it will, but I'd say there's a 5 to 10% chance that you could see Miami do a small trade-up and get him if Brock Bowers starts to fall on Thursday night. The only other tight end worth talking about is the kid from Texas, Jatavion Sanders, in round two. Now, this is a round two. There's no chance he's going to round one. And I don't know. The past week, I've seen a million mock drafts where at pick 55, the Dolphins are taking Jatavion Sanders. Either everyone knows something that is being spoken about inside inner circles, or everyone is just sort of misguided. It's one of the two. We'll find out on Friday night, I guess. Sanders is a big, fast, talented pass catcher. He wouldn't be, you know, obviously someone as good as Brock Bowers if he came to Miami, and he is picked by Miami. But, you know, there's a lot to like about Sanders. So I understand why a lot of people think Miami might be interested, because, yes, Jonnu Smith is good. Jatavion Sanders just brings, you know, another big-time tight end prospect to Miami. Someone, again, more of a big-picture play. You're thinking Jonnu Smith here for a year or two, and then Sanders hopefully is here for another 5 to 6 to 8 years type of deal. So I kind of get it. I don't think tight end's a huge need. Now, again, round one, Brock Bowers falls in your lap, or you can make a small trade up to get him. You go from 21 to 18, you grab him. Like, I get it. I'm on board. That would be awesome. But, like, past him, I don't think Miami needs to add a tight end in this draft. Sanders at round two would be a underwhelming pick. One, I mean, I'm not going to be mad at a draft pick because it's like you can't really get mad at this stuff. But I wouldn't be pleased, let's just say. I just think I don't understand. It just wouldn't make a lot of sense for me for both either a short-term, you know, if Chris Greer has a short-term vision or a long-term vision. It's like really a tight end at 55 who's a little bit of a project, who's good but needs a little bit of work. It's like, eh, I wouldn't do it. But yeah, the one with Brock Bowers, just keep Thursday night. If we, you know, every year we see a guy, I can't believe he's still on the board. It's pick 12 or 13. I can't believe he's still on the board. Brock Bowers might be that guy. Because, again, tight end's not a huge value spot. It's not, you know, most teams don't go into the draft thinking, I got to get a tight end. They go in there saying, I got to get an edge rusher. I got to get a corner. I got to get a quarterback. I got to get a pass catcher. I got to get a big-time wide receiver who's going to stretch the field. You don't go in there going, boy, do I need a tight end. Like, it's very rare. But Brock Bowers has so much talent and so much skill. It's like coming out of his ears. I mean, it's like, you know, some people think he could be on the level of Travis Kelce or George Kittle type. And once you're talking about those guys, like, we know how good they are and how they can transform an offense and carry an offense some weeks. So that would be the one round one if he falls. I have no idea if he will fall. You know, pick 10, the Jets, he could just be gone. But if he gets past it, just keep an eye on. Okay, last position's wide receiver. At pick 21, to me, if Miami, they need a third wide receiver, especially we're starting to hear more reports that the financial gap between Odell Beckham and the Dolphins is, like, big. So I don't know if they're going to be able to close that gap and sign, like, an Odell. Who's going to be Miami's third wide receiver? I'm not going to say it again. I've said it ad nauseum the past month. If you don't think Miami needs help with wide receiver, you don't understand modern football. Yes, Hill and Waddle are great. Waddle, he's coming up towards the end of his contract. We hope we can keep him. We don't know. Tyreek Hill's got a lot of off-the-field problems. He's making $30 million this year. Dolphins, you know, in the next year or so, are going to want to move on and get younger and cheaper here. And plus, just this year alone, if you want to win games, you want to make the playoffs, you want to win in the AFC East, they need a third wide receiver, because God forbid Hill or Waddle gets hurt or have to play less than 100%, you're screwed, as we saw at the end of last season. The only wide receiver, I mean, obviously the top three when you're talking, you know, Harrison and Neighbors and the kid from Walk, they ain't going to be there. So I'm not even going to talk. The only other wide receiver I would take at pick 21 or in round one period, Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU. Kid's a stud. Ran a 4.39. Has size, which is something we don't have with Hill and Waddle. It would be a great compliment. We got these two, you know, Pro Bowl, All-Pro type wide receivers. Now we're going to add a fast kid with some size. He has every trait you want. He had a ton of production last year at LSU, and he wasn't even their number one wide receiver, and he had a ton of production. The kid's amazing. it's probably a coin toss if he's there at pick 21. I've seen a lot of mocks where he goes, you know, 18, 19, 20-ish, maybe 17 to Jacksonville, I think, somewhere around there. Or so there's a chance he's going to go like three or four picks before Miami. But there's also a chance he's on the board 21 again. After those top three wide receivers go on the board, and this is a deep wide receiver class, so a lot of those teams picking in the middle of round one might be like, let me take another position now. I'll get a good wide receiver in round two. And that's what would cause Brian Thomas to fall to Miami. Again, if they took him, does it fill as big a need as like edge rusher or like left guard or right guard or defensive tackle? No, but I get it because it's an offensive league. You got to be able to stretch the field, put up points in waves. We got two wide receivers who can do that. Now you're adding a third, and then it makes it easier to move on from Tyreek Hill in a year from now and get his money off the books to maybe have to pay someone else like a Phillips or like a Waddle, and you have Brian Thomas on a five-year rookie contract, very modest, who is awesome, who's just awesome, who's just an awesome player. Now, if I don't think that's going to happen, though. I think if Miami goes wide receiver, pick 55 is the pick. And I think some of the names in play at pick 55 are Roman Wilson, the wide receiver out of Michigan, Ladd McConkey out of Georgia, Jalen Polk out of Washington, Devontae Walker out of North Carolina, Ricky Pearsall, Florida, Xavier Leggett, South Carolina, Troy Franklin, Oregon, Malachi Corley, Western Kentucky, and Johnny Wilson, Keon Coleman, both of Florida State. Now, will some of those guys be gone by pick 55? Absolutely. I think someone like a Ladd McConkey out of Georgia might even sneak into round one, so he probably won't be there. Ricky Pearsall might go before pick 55 in Miami. He probably won't be there. Roman Wilson's an interesting one because he is almost like a poor man's Waddle and Hill. He runs like a 4.39 type guy, runs just under a 4.4. Not the biggest guy in the world, but would be, you know, a clone of what we already have a wide receiver. Now, with a third wide receiver, again, I would like someone to complement Hill and Waddle, be a little bit taller, have some more size. But if they do go with someone like a Roman Wilson here at pick 55, I get it because he sort of fits the mold of the top two wide receivers we have. And again, he's so fast. You know, Mike McDaniel would just fall in love with him. So once again, I would get it. When it comes to a Jalen Polk or a Walker from North Carolina, again, round two, solid pick. Walker does bring that size. Would be solid picks at 55, good value. Xavier Leggett's a very popular name. He's been one of the names from the end of the college football season to where we are today. It's just been skyrocketing up draft boards. I know most people have him going, you know, around pick 55. There's been some mocks that have him going to Miami at pick 55. I know there was a mock recently, I think from NFL.com. It might have been a Chad Ruder mock. They had him fall to round three. I just don't agree with that per se. He might know something I don't. I have no idea. But I think Xavier Leggett at 55 would make Dolphins fans really happy. Troy Franklin, Malachi Corley, Johnny Wilson would kind of be underwhelming at 55. If Miami traded back from 55 and, you know, got pick 60 and maybe pick up a pick around three or pick around four, take one of those guys there. It's like, okay, I can buy into that. Keon Coleman's an interesting one. Big wide receiver out of Florida State. You know, some people have, you know, probably 1 year ago this time would have had him sort of going round one. He's got a ton of size, not super fast, but a very physical, tall wide receiver who can high point a ball. You know, Mike McDaniel loves to run those end zone fades. Really doesn't have anyone on the roster to sort of catch that pass. Keon Coleman's a guy who could catch that pass. The speed and just sort of like the effort with him is sort of comes in question at times. If Miami takes him, you know, a lot of the Miami Dolphins fans you see on social media who live inside a bubble are going to pump this kid up to be the second coming. But reality, there are some red flags there and some traits that you don't love. But, you know, once again, you're round two. I would sort of understand it if Miami took him there because then you're going to place a bet that what he does well, you're going to get, and we can sort of fix or coach up the areas of his game that are like a little bit weak. But again, if they took a wide receiver in round two, that to me makes a lot more sense, especially if you can get someone, say Ricky Pearsall falls, say Roman Wilson's there, Xavier Leggett. Like, I get it. And I think, you know, in round one, if you get an edge rusher or if you get a defensive tackle, in round two, you add that third wide receiver. I think that's a good Thursday, Friday part of the draft for the Dolphins if that's what they do. If they can trade back in round two, and, you know, add a pick and round three or four, and maybe you get a Malachi Corley out of Western Kentucky or Johnny Wilson, Florida State, or a Walker out of North Carolina. Again, that's a very good night for the Dolphins. I'd be very happy with that. But overall, I think what if they sign Odell Beckham, he sort of solves the third wide receiver issue for a year. And for 2024, you're kind of fine. But there's still a bigger thing at play here. And we know with most wide receivers, their rookie years, they struggle some. They're not guys who are going to come in for the most part. There's always exceptions to the rule, like Chase. Even Waddle as a rookie was sensational. But for the most part, and especially guys in round two, they take a year at least to get acclimated to the NFL game. So that's why you don't want to be in a situation a year or two from now where Hill's no longer here and you're using a first round or second round pick on a wide receiver and expecting them to step in and fill, you know, huge shoes. That's why I would almost like to get one here in round, you know, one or two, probably two, where they're coming in behind Hill and Waddle. They have a year to sort of learn under those guys, play with those guys, and then a year from now or 2 years from now, when one of them is gone, they can, you know, step into a larger role and be ready for that type of situation. That's why I'm all for taking a wide receiver this year. Should one be there, and it makes sense logically. But again, who they take goes back to the show I did on Friday. If you didn't listen to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast I did Friday, listen to it, find it. It's more about the vision Chris Greer has, the roster construction game he's going to play here next week in this draft. Is he looking at a long-term game, give me the best players available, I don't care what position, or is he playing a short-term game? I got to win in 2024. I feel like I'm on the hot seat. I got to win games in 2024. I need guys I can plug in and play at guard, offensive, or edge rusher, like right away. You're going to start week one, help me week one. I don't know, but at 21-55, if they go offense, they go offensive players with one or either pick or both. I think the names I've mentioned here today are going to be the logical names. Those are going to be, you know, if you, you know, I know not every fan out there, not everybody listening is big into the draft. You might not be a big fan of college football. You don't know any of these guys. If in the next handful of days before we get to the draft on Thursday and Friday, you're going to start doing a little bit of reading, a little bit of research. Read up and research on the names I gave you. Those are really the only names in play for Miami at those positions. Again, they're not taking a quarterback. They're not taking a running back. So it's like it's either offensive line, wide receiver, or tight ends round one or two. The names I mentioned are the only logical ones that they could probably go with at 21 and 55. I don't think I missed anybody, but if I did, we'll talk about them after the show or next week after the draft. But yeah, so that's what those are the offensive players I think that are in play for Miami at 21-55. Tomorrow I'll do a show where I talk about the defensive players. And again, we're going to focus on defensive tackle, edge rush, and probably a little safety corner. Not that I expect them to take a corner round one, but safety, you know, some of these guys can sort of also play safety a little bit. And in round two, safety is totally in play. So we'll talk about that on tomorrow's show. First off, everyone, thank you for listening, and thank you for listening to all of our shows here at DolphinsTalk.com. We know you have a ton of podcast options these days. Podcasts, that whole industry is blowing up, whether it's podcasts about the Miami Dolphins or just podcasts in general about music, movies, sports, politics, whatever. You have a ton of options. Thank you for taking a few minutes each and every day to listen to us here at DolphinsTalk.com. We really do appreciate you listening to our shows. Without you, there would be no us, and it's not overlooked in the least bit. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Be sure to check out the website, DolphinsTalk.com. We got a bunch of new mock drafts up. We got a bunch of new articles up, commentaries. We got player profiles up. We got podcasts up, video stuff up. Check out DolphinsTalk.com each and every day. It's updated all day, all throughout the day. Once news breaks, once we get rumors, once we get new original content, check out DolphinsTalk.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Threads, at DolphinsTalk. Everyone have a great Saturday. We'll talk to you again after a while. And folks, don't forget, we must put an end to highway profanity.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.